www.remnantofgod.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our land. Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. I apologize for the delay in getting online. It appears that I'll forego that. I apologize for being on late getting online tonight. Today is Monday. It is the 15th of November in the year 2004. And I'm going to switch gears on us here tonight, folks. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the, quote, never-ending war. And at the present time, the emphasis or focus was on Fallujah, the town of, I believe, about 300,000 people in Iraq that 10,000 troops surrounded and have attacked. And we've also talked about the presidential election and that the fact is, or the probability is, it ain't over yet, folks. And I am, as I said, I'm totally switching gears on us tonight. I want to repeat the date here because I didn't have my tape on record. It is Monday, the 15th of November in the year 2004. Thank you for being here. Our spiritual message this evening comes from the New Testament, from John 18. And it begins at verse 37. This is a quote from Jesus, the Christ. And he was in a conversation with Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate asked him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Give me just a couple seconds to get a thing off my printer, folks. I'll be right back with you. Thank you for your patience here. I'm going to begin tonight with a dialogue that I had with somebody on the internet. And the reason I want to share this with you is that this is what's happening out there, folks. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful who you listen to, who you believe. Well, maybe that's a stupid word to use, believe. Because if we don't do our own homework, if we don't do our own research, just blindly believing in anybody is foolish. But there, we have a tendency, don't we, to find certain people or read certain information, and we know that the information we're reading is true because it is so well documented. And then the person who is sharing this information, who is putting the information out, is considered a good guy, and they must be good, because otherwise, if they weren't, they wouldn't be putting all this information out. And there is a particular individual that sends emails out, and I get them and I read them, and some of them are to me so relevant and so pertinent, and then I'll respond to him and say thank you for putting this out, for sending this over. But there are some articles and information that he sends from people. Not only is the information itself erroneous, but the people that are writing the articles or the reports are part of the controlled opposition. And one of these that I got today is written by Craig Roberts, and it's titled, What is a Veteran? And I'm not going to take the time to read the piece to you, but this is one of those pieces, one of those reports, one of those writings that have a tendency or have actual power to promulgate and continue lies that have been told. And so when I received this, I wrote back to the person who sent it, and I said, hello, and I won't use the name. I said, for your information, Craig Roberts is controlled opposition. What in the world can he mean by this? This is the article that Craig Roberts did, and it was titled, What is a Veteran? And basically what it was doing, in a sense, is glorifying war. But I said, what in the world can he mean by this? Quote, I want to take this opportunity as a veteran to remember and to help those who enjoy this hard-fought peace to understand. Let me read that again. I want to take this opportunity as a veteran to remember and to help those who enjoy this hard-fought peace to understand what is a veteran. And I said, surely Craig Roberts knows the difference between peace and war, between liberty and tyranny. Surely he's aware that World War I was instigated and promulgated, though not subjected to the actual killing and dying, by the creatures who've been in control of this physical world for millennia. And surely he knows he's furthering the intense brainwashing and mind control on those who are not aware. And I'm sure that you know this. Question then, with your deep and vast understanding of what is happening, why would you send disinformation like this to your list, to be forwarded to other unsuspecting and uninformed people? Does your, quote, God condone the furthering of lies, Daniel? Do you earn your place in the hereafter by helping to further a huge lie? I am sincerely, not facetiously, I am sincerely bewildered. Roberts talks about desert warfare and refers to those who are attempting to defend their families, homes, towns, countries against alien invaders from the U.S. of A. as the enemy. And does your heart ache for the slaughter of innocent men, women, children, babies of those nations which have felt the wrath of the so-called God utterly destroying everything that breathes. I believe you refer to yourself as a pastor or minister of such. What is happening to the souls of young men and women of America who have somehow been able to justify wholesale slaughter of a nation, many nations over the past 2.5 centuries, of people who are no threat whatsoever to Americans? Do they get a pass because they've been mind controlled? Jesus said that we reap what we sow. Do you believe that? I do. You are an enigma to me, brother. He calls himself brother something. I am not taking my time to write just to be derogatory. My questions and bewilderment are serious and sincere. I await your response. Thank you. And I said, P.S., the whole piece is a sham. Consider this. This is a quote from this piece that was sent out by an individual who refers to himself as a minister or a pastor. He is an identity minister, I believe, Christian identity. And here is a quote from the piece that he sent out. It said, Robert said first, those who have served in the armed forces know what it is like to do a job that is extremely difficult and dangerous, underpaid and underrecognized. Still, the job has to be done and someone has to do it. There is a job to be done and someone has to do it. In other words, what this thing is saying, folks, is that there are people to be killed and someone has to do it. And I said, yes, in defense of the world order, U.S. soldiers will have to kill and die. Another quote from this piece. It is difficult to describe in few words, Robert said, what a veteran may have done while in uniform. It is difficult to describe in few words what a veteran may have done in uniform. And I said, we probably wouldn't want to know, and the veteran might rather forget. And then Robert said, but as they say, someone has to do it. And the veterans are the men and women who stepped forward. And history has proven over and over that serving one's country, whether for one hitch or for a career, is the most honorable profession. But a profession most understood in today's civilian world and the world of yesteryear as well. And I ask, are you a war hawk, Daniel? Do you believe that soldiering is the most honorable profession? And then at the end of this article, Robert said, and now Iraq, and there will be more. This is a veteran and a historian. It is controlled opposition, ladies and gentlemen. And I said, that is a given. He said, and now Iraq, and there will be more. And my comment was, that is a given, isn't it? Next Iran, then Syria, and on and on and on. The never-ending war promulgated by the minions of Lucifer, promoted as heroic and honorable. Has it occurred to you, Daniel, that you're promoting the work of Lucifer by forwarding trash like this? And I received a response from this. And he said, Jackie, I don't send out material with the idea that it is all correct. This is what you have to face on the internet, folks. This is what you have to be able to sift through. I don't send out material with the idea that it is all correct. I give my listeners and my readers the credit that they can figure this stuff out for themselves. You capture more flies with sugar than you do with vinegar, don't you? Why do you attack me? You saw through what he wrote, didn't you? Why do you suppose that the others on my list are fooled by this article? I want people to think and to question me and others. Many are waking up, and I will do all I can to help that along. I give out a lot of information to arm people with the ability to discern for themselves. I don't presume to be the judge of all that is good. I'm sorry you took such offense to this article. I would rather win this man over to our side than to cast him away without a fight. I don't know what he did to win over Craig Roberts. Folks, I know that he... This is just one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails that I get. And I just happen to have decided I wanted to share this with you tonight because... I don't know why. Anyway, he'd rather win this man over to our side than cast him away without a fight. All he's really doing is promulgating disinformation. And so I wrote back to him one last time. And I have to find it because I'm going from bottom to up on this. He said, "Why do you attack me?" And I wrote back and I said, "I do not attack you, Dan. You say you send out material to let other people figure it out. Does it occur to you that they will forward to others who cannot figure it out? I believe that we who have an eye to see and an ear to hear have a great responsibility to reveal the truth, expose the lies, if you will. I don't presume to be the judge about all that is good either. I'm not talking about good or bad. I'm talking about truth and lies. Do you believe that Jesus promulgated lies to let the ignorant figure out whether it's true or not? According to his statement in John 18:37, he said to Pontius Pilate, 'Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.'" As one who declares himself a Christian, Dan, you might consider the ramifications of your promulgation of lies so that others can, quote, figure it out for themselves. If you didn't get any other response from this piece, it could be presumed that they believe that since you sent it out, you must concur with what you sent. The realization of our responsibility hit me one day about 10 years ago when a lady called to inform me of the status of a particular piece of federal legislation. Since I was a C-SPAN junkie at the time and was on the phone with dozens of offices in D.C. to keep abreast of the facts, I was able to explain to the lady that what she was told was not accurate. After I told her what was going on, she said, quote, "I knew if I called you, I'd get the truth, Jackie." I was stunned, and I was concerned. In this case, I was correct. However, what if I gave erroneous information to someone unknowingly? I immediately asked in prayer. Here it goes again. I immediately asked in prayer that I would be able to discern truth from lies and truth sayers from liars. I would never intentionally mislead someone, but without discernment, we could be partner to the lies unknowingly. I've noticed many items that you forward that caused me to wonder why you would send out propaganda and pieces that actually can reinforce the brainwashing and mind control that has been perpetrated on the entire population, especially when some of what you send is so relevant and true. Actually, whether you realize it or not, you're doing exactly what the controlled opposition does. They tell a lot of truth. They tell so much truth that people believe everything they say is true. It's like rat poison. 99.5% of the ingredients in rat poison are harmless or even tasty and nutritious. It has to be, or the rat wouldn't bite on it. I'm clear that there are many more of them on the internet than those of us who wish to awaken people to the lies into which we've all been born. to repeat myself, my comments and questions to you were not an attack on you, Dan. I simply have felt confusion at the array of articles and reports you forward because some are so important and serve to enlighten the ignorant or naive, while others promulgate the lies. This is an issue for you to ponder and pray about. I believe it's harmful unless you preface the article with some type of comment that explains why you send out lies. Your choice to make, of course, not mine. So this is what we're deluged with, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's on the shortwave, whether it's on satellite, whether it's on internet radio, whether it's on the internet. Having problems with this thing again. Okay, so why I use that, another reason, as an example to you. There is a man out there named Mike Rupert on the internet, and he now has a book. And this is getting me to what our subject matter is going to be tonight and probably tomorrow night. And this came from a lovely lady. I don't know her personally, but the information, she's with the Vaccine Network, but she also puts out other relevant information. And she said, I read the article called Most Serious Warning Ever and decided to send it to you. By the way, I'm starting to read a book. This book is what my focus is, folks. I'm starting to read a book that I need to recommend to you. It is called Crossing the Rubicon by Michael Rupert. And then it tells how you can get it. She went in here to find a description of it. And this is how the book, folks, this is how this book is being promoted. September 2nd, 2004, I guess this was the publication date. Crossing the Rubicon, the decline of the American Empire and the end of the age of oil. It says this is a detective story that gets to the innermost core of the 911 attacks. It places 911, 9/11, at the center of a desperate new America created by specific named individuals in preparation for peak oil, an economic crisis like nothing the world has ever seen. So this is a detective story that gets to the innermost core of the 9/11 attacks. It places 9/11 at the center of a desperate new America created by specific named individuals in preparation for peak oil, an economic crisis like nothing the world has ever seen. The attacks of September 11, 2001 were accomplished through an amazing orchestration of logistics and personnel. Crossing the Rubicon discovers and identifies the key suspects and persons of interest, finding some of them in the highest echelons of American government by showing how they acted in concert. By showing how they acted in concert to guarantee that the attacks occurred and produced the desired result. So he was saying that the entire war in Iraq and in the Middle East is being done for oil, folks, because the world is running out of oil. Peak oil is a scam, and I have had this on my mind for several weeks to talk with you about. And before this broadcast goes off the air, I wanted to get this done. And folks, I don't know how the shortwave reception is tonight. I don't know how many of you were able to hear the broadcasts last week. I am next week. I will be rebroadcasting last week's programs because my daughter is still here, Nicole. The family is coming. And I am taking this last week to be with her and to forego the live broadcast. Those of our shortwave listeners, many of you could not hear the broadcast for the most part. So, and I want you to hear it. I think it's important. So I will be this week live next week. Remember this, please, that you will be hearing rebroadcasts from the last week program. And if you weren't able to hear, what I had said last week is that we have come to a point where we have no alternative but to leave the air. And of course, I have mixed emotions about this because, first of all, I have appreciated the opportunity to share with you so much information that has been brought into my midst. And it has been a blessing for me, as well as I hope that it has been, and I believe that it has been, for many, many of our listeners. But we're $9,000 in debt for our shortwave bill. And actually, right now, I have close to $2,000 to send, so we're looking at $7,000. And then we have November coming up, which isn't even counted in that. And as I said last week, there just doesn't appear to be enough interest with enough of you because we do have a core of listeners who have supported this broadcast for 6.5 years. And there have been people who have come on and began supporting and dropped away and have come back. We have some new sponsors of the broadcast. And I thank each and every one of you for what you have done and for your willingness, as I've said many times, to give as well as to receive. Anyway, unless something very drastic happens between now and the end of this month, folks, Sweet Liberty will be off the air. And so this is something that, this peak oil is something that has been on my mind to make sure that you're aware of, so that at least you don't fall for it. You don't fall for it. I'm sorry about that. Mike Rupert got a bunch of people together and put an ad in. The first time I ever read something that he wrote, I thought it was wonderful. It was about 911, and he was out there within a day and a half with so much information. It was just incredible. That should have been a clue. But when I saw, then I began to get suspicious with some statements within the body of articles that he put out. And folks, this is something that I pray that you will take with you, if nothing else, from this broadcast. And I understand how difficult it is, because if you don't know, if you don't have the information to know when somebody is lying, then you believe that you are, everything that you are reading is truth. And so my suggestion here, it's what I did. Pray for discernment. Pray for discernment to be able to know the difference between truth and lie. And the difference between truth sayers and liars. All right, this is fine. This is timely. Because I didn't want to get this started and then have to stop. We're going to be taking a 60-second break, folks. If you would get your pen and pencil, you can have my address. And if you would like to help to support the broadcast, even if we have to go off the air, the airtime bill is mine. It is my responsibility. And so, therefore, you might want to come forth. And if you do, take down the address. You'll be having it in just a few seconds. I'll be right back.
years ahead of the dominant media. Find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Let me give you that address one more time in case you didn't get it, and in case you would like to have it. Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. I've been doing this since the mid-1995, folks, and it's, 9 years, actually 9.5 years, and maybe the time has come. And I've always asked, and I keep asking, please, Father, when it's time for it to be over, let me know it. Because, you know, we can get attached to certain things, can't we, folks? And then maybe it was something we were supposed to be doing, and when the time for it is up, we don't give it up. And I'm willing to do that. And as I said, unless something very drastic happens between now and the end of November. I have not spoken with WWCR yet. I will be calling them this week to give them my 2 weeks' notice. So actually, from what I can see, we will be finished by the end of this month. Now, what I want to share with you, this is I knew that the peak oil was a scam. We have enough information stored in our information banks to think about all the oil wells that have been capped in Texas, and the oil in Alaska alone that could keep us for 500 years here in the U.S., keep us for 500 years without changing our usage. So the whole thing, just know this. And maybe there's nothing you can do with it, but you won't be fooled. You won't be fooled into believing that the price of gasoline could be going up to $7 a gallon, which I'm told it is in Scotland at the present time. And so I had just sent something to somebody who put out something about the peak oil, and I said, peak oil is a scam. Oh, I think it was Peter Kawaja. And Mike Rupert is, I guess it was advertising his book. And right after that, somebody had emailed me. Somebody had emailed me this wonderful piece, and there are actually two of them. This one, I will confess to you, I have not read all the way through. I read the second one, but I decided that I wanted to start at the beginning with you, so I went and got the first one that the other one played off. This was written August 17, 2004, and the title of it is, Whoa, Dude, Are We Peaking Yet? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Jackie?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Gloria from New York.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I'm very sad. Is this true? The show is live right now, right? You were talking about possibly having to go off the air?
Yes, Gloria.
Oh, that would be awful. There's no one like you out there. Gosh, I hope that the people are listening to me and they please, they pitch in. Please, listeners, get involved. Jackie out there. She really gets to the bottom of things. She really tells the truth, has a lot of courage. And all those other shows out there, these shortwave shows, it's just a lot of noise. They talk about shadowy figures, you know, like, what's his name, Alex Jones. And it's just a lot of noise. That's all it is. And, you know, it would break my heart, Jackie, so I will be praying for you. And I do try to give. I've given, and
you
I want
do.
Others to give. So.
Thank you, Gloria.
You know.
And Gloria,
yeah.
Rather than praying for me, honey, or if you are going to pray for me,
mm-hmm.
pray that I am listening well to my inner guidance, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if this is meant to be, it will continue. And if it isn't, it won't continue, Gloria.
Yeah, I believe that, okay.
And I know that you're one of those who has an eye to see and an ear to hear. And it's the whole reason that I have done this broadcast for so many years, Gloria.
Oh, boy. Well, let's hope it's not the case, you're saying. Let's hope you're just going to continue and everything will be well with you. And because it would be a great loss to the shortwave world. So I just hope that the people will get involved.
Thank you, darling.
That's all we can do. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, folks. Thank you, Gloria, for that call. I want to get into this, and obviously I will be continuing it tomorrow night. The title, once again, this comes from the center, if you're on the Internet, and because I haven't sent this over to Darren, our webmaster, this comes from the Center for an Informed America, August 17th, 2004, titled, Whoa, Dude, Are We Peaking Yet? Says the Club of Rome. This is a statement from Popular Science. How long will the oil age last? This is a quote from Popular Science, August 2004. Says the Club of Rome, a non-profit global think tank, said in the 1970s that we'd hit peak oil in 2003. It didn't happen. The Club of Rome, folks, we're talking about the elite, the insiders. Okay? It didn't happen. So said Kevin Kelleher, writing for Popular Science magazine in August of this year. But it did indeed happen, according to Michael Rupert and his band of resident, quote, experts, who collectively insist that the planet is now at the point of peak oil production. It appears that then that today's peak oil crowd has some pages in their propaganda playbook that were lifted directly from the Club of Rome, which means the obvious question, which raises the obvious question, what exactly is the Club of Rome? Who is it that has handed Michael Rupert and company the baton? The initial membership list of the Club of Rome, as it turns out, contains some interesting names. I'm going to name these names for you, folks. The Club of Rome, David Rockefeller, Bilderberger, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, former chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, scion of the world's most prominent oil dynasty, and all-around bad guy. And then there's John J. McCloy, Club of Rome, former advisor in the Mussolini regime, who had the honor of sitting in Adolf Hitler's private box at the Berlin Olympic Games, later served as High Commissioner of Germany, during which time he signed an order freeing the majority of the Nazi war criminals that had been convicted at Nuremberg, still later served on the infamous Warren Committee. There was Avril Harriman, skull and bonesman, and high-level political operative through several presidential administrations, together with members of the Dulles family and the Bush-Walker family, established various business entities engaged in private funding. Catherine Graham, longtime publisher of the Washington Post and longtime CIA asset, who once famously said, while speaking at the CIA's Langley, Virginia headquarters. We live in a dirty and dangerous world. There are some things the general public does not need to know and shouldn't know. I believe democracy flourishes when the government can take legitimate steps to keep its secrets and when the press can decide whether to print what it knows. The author here says, quite a distinguished cast of characters, I have to admit, although not necessarily the type of people whose lies and spin most dissidents slash progressives would accept as good coin. But guess what? If you're buying or selling the peak oil BS, then you already have. On June 21st, the LA Times ran a story that the ever-growing peak oil crowd seems to have missed. The article concerned the Shell Oil refinery in Bakersfield, California, that's scheduled to be shut down October 1. This article was written in August, folks. Despite the fact that the state of California and the nation as a whole is already woefully lacking in refinery capacity. So, they're shutting down oil refineries here in the U.S. Now, why do you suppose that Shell would want to close a perfectly good oil refinery? It can't be because there's no market for the goods produced there, since that obviously isn't the case, and it isn't due to a lack of raw materials. Since the refinery sits, as the Times noted, atop prolific oil fields. The refinery sits atop prolific oil fields, folks, and the refinery is shutting down. The Scotsman, this is a internet newspaper, recently, I don't know if it's published in hard copy or not, the Scotsman recently explained just how prolific those fields are. The best estimates in 1942 indicated that the Kern River field in California had just 54 billion barrels of remaining oil. By 1986, the field had produced 736 million barrels. Excuse me, let me start this over. The best estimates in 1942 indicated that the Kern River field in California had just 54 million barrels of remaining oil. By 1986, the field had produced 736 million barrels, and estimates put the remaining reserves at 970 million barrels. And that's the end of the quoting from the Scotsman. Of course, just because there's a strong demand for a product and a ready source of raw materials with which to produce that product doesn't mean that any corporate entity is obliged to bring that product to market. In the corporate world, the only thing that ever matters is the bottom line, because corporations exist for one purpose only, to generate profits. So, the only question I suppose that really matters is, can the refining of gasoline and diesel fuel at this particular facility generate profits for the corporation? One would naturally assume, given Shell's decision to close the refinery, that the answer to that question is no. But that would be an entirely wrong assumption, since the truth is, as the LA Times reporters discovered when they got their hands on internal company documents, the refinery is wildly profitable. How wildly profitable? The Bakersfield plant's profits of $11 million in May 2004 was 57 times what the company projected. 57 times. 57 times more profitable than the company projected, and more than double what it made in all of 2003. And that was, it says in parentheses, by Elizabeth Douglas, Shell to cut summer output at Bakersfield Refinery, paper says. Go ahead and read that again. More than double what it made in all of 2003. The profits in a single month, folks, in a single month. And 2003 wasn't exactly what you would call a slow year at the Bakersfield Refinery. According to Shell documents obtained by the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, quote, Bakersfield's refining margin at $23.01 per barrel, or about 55 cents profit per gallon, topped all of Shell's refineries in the nation. In other words, they're shutting down one of their most profitable refineries, folks, sitting atop a prolific oil field. Peak oil? I don't think so. Let's pause briefly here to review the situation, shall we? There's a product, gasoline, that is in great demand and that will always be. In great demand, since the product has what economists like to call an inelastic demand curve. For many months now, that product has been selling for record-breaking prices, especially in the state of California, and there's no indication that the situation will change anytime soon. There are abundant local resources with which to produce that coveted product. And finally, there is a ridiculously profitable facility that is ideally located to manufacture and produce that product. Given that situation, what response would we normally expect from that facility's parent corporation? Sit back and let the good times roll? Attempt to increase production at the facility and rake in even greater profits? Sell the facility and make a windfall profit? Or, tossing logic and rationality to the wind, shut the facility down and walk away? That last one, of course, is what Shell has chosen to do. And this story, believe it or not, gets even better. The internal documents obtained by the Times, this is a inset as though it's quoting, and only I don't think it says who's quoting it, folks. We'll see. The internal documents obtained by the Times, including a refinery output forecast, indicates that Bakersfield will soon be producing far less than its capacity. After relatively high output rates in May and early June, Shell plans to cut crude oil processing about 6% in July and another 6% in August, according to the forecast. Those 2 months are when California's fuel demand reaches annual peak levels. Do you hear what they're saying? The internal documents obtained by the Times, including a refinery output forecast, indicate that Bakersfield will soon be producing far less than its capacity. After relatively high output rates in May and early June, Shell plans to cut crude oil processing about 6% in July and another 6% in August. Those 2 months are when California's fuel demand reaches annual peak levels. So what's happening, folks? They are creating a phony oil shortage. Amir Farid, the general manager of the Bakersfield refinery, was asked the reason for the plan to reduce output at the time of peak demand. Farid complained, the name I'm pronouncing, Farid, maybe it's Farid, F-A-R-I-D, claimed that he was not aware of any such plan. But he added that if there was such a plan, quote, there is good reason for it. However, he also added that quote, off the top of my head, I don't know what that good reason is. And why would he? Certainly the manager of the refinery can't be expected to know why his facility is planning to dramatically reduce output, can he? The best explanation that he could come up with was to speculate that there, quote, could be maintenance planned or projections for a shortfall of crude. Well, neither of those scenarios are very plausible. Bakersfield, whose suburbs include Oildale and Oil Junction, won't likely be facing a shortfall of crude oil anytime soon. And as for the notion of planned maintenance, I doubt that anyone actually believes that Shell plans to perform 2 months worth of maintenance work on a facility that will be permanently shuttered just 1 month after that work is completed. To be fair, I suppose it could be the case that Shell, being the benevolent giant that it is, wants to get the place in tip-top shape for the new owners, except there are no new owners, primarily because Shell doesn't search out potential buyers for the refinery once it decided to didn't. Shell didn't search for potential buyers for the refinery once it decided to shutter it. Indeed, Shell actively avoided finding a buyer for the plant, which became a fully owned Shell asset just 3 short years ago, since any new owner would probably object to the bulldozers and wrecking balls that Shell plans to bring in just as soon as the refinery's doors have closed. And this is, in parentheses, FTCR, uncovered, oh, this is the website here, uncovered a timetable, oh, the FTCR, I'm not sure what that is, uncovered a timetable showing decommissioning and demolition are set to begin immediately after the refinery's shutdown date. Can any of you peak oil boosters out there think of any legitimate reason why a purely profit-driven corporation would acquire an outrageously profitable asset and then proceed to deliberately destroy it? Because I have to tell you, I've been struggling to come up with an explanation on my own, and the only one that I've got so far is that the corporation might be involved in some kind of conspiracy to manufacture an artificial shortage of a crucial commodity. I know that peak oil theory holds that we don't need the refinery capacity because, you know, we're running out of oil and all, but that doesn't explain why a tremendously profitable refinery isn't being kept in operation at least until all the local wells have run dry, does it? Shell will, by the way, continue to operate in Martinez, California refinery. For now, at least, the Martinez facility is also wildly profitable, showing a net profit of $34 million in May. That tidy profit was, as it turns out, just shy of Shell's profit expectations of Martinez for all of the year 2004. In 1 month, profits of $34 million, just shy of Shell's profit expectations for all of 2004. Strangely enough, the Martinez facility, like the one in Bakersfield, cut crude processing in July by nearly 10%, a reduction attributed to planned heavy maintenance. It's always a good idea, I suppose, to schedule heavy maintenance work during times of peak energy demand. That's the kind of intelligent business decision we would expect from a corporate giant with decades of experience in the energy business. On July 8th, the LA Times, armed with yet more internal company documents and an unnamed company whistleblower, revisited the story of the Bakersfield refinery. of July 1st, it was discovered, Shell had reduced crude oil processing at the refinery to levels 19% below capacity, more than triple the unexplained reduction that had been planned for the facility. According to both company documents and the unnamed employee, quote, there were no problems with the plant's equipment, end quote, and no other explanation was offered for the radical reduction in processing, undoubtedly because there's no legitimate reason for the decreased output. So obvious is the company's intent to artificially tighten gasoline and diesel supplies that FTC was obliged, for the sake of appearances, to step in and pretend to launch an investigation. Shell's response to the investigation has been to delay the closing of the refinery for a few months while it goes through the motions of pretending to find a buyer. To complete unrelated news, the July 31st LA Times report announced that, quote, profits at Chevron Texaco Corporation more than doubled during the second quarter, echoing the strong quarterly results reported by other major U.S. oil refiners this week. Chevron's Texaco's profit jumped from $1.6 billion to $4.1 billion. Not too shabby, is it? 3 days later, the Times reported that Unocal's earnings for that same quarter had nearly doubled, from $177 to $341 million. Folks, this is almost done. I'm going to finish it tomorrow night, and we'll have some more information on this. The reason I'm taking the time to read the entire article to you is not just to make a statement that peak oil is a scam. I want you to have the facts here so you know it. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow night, and I hope you'll be back with us. Thank you for being here. And have a lovely evening, what's left of it. Have sweet dreams tonight. Good night, folks, and God bless you.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.